Ken, you come on preach for us. You pray for him, God use him.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed that singing tonight, somebody say amen. Some of you young'uns better be learning what they doing, because they're leaving out. And it ain't but a few left to bring them up in old-time religion. Thank God what worked back yonder will work tonight. I'm glad I ain't a-hunting a new Bible to be a-toting around. Somebody said, well, I can't understand that kind of Bible. Well, if you'd get the Holy Ghost, then you'd do a whole lot for it. Somebody one time said, well, it don't matter what version you got. Well, there's a right smart difference in a virgin and a young woman. So I'm glad I got the real thing tonight. I'm not a hunting a place with a drama team or a drama squad. Matter of fact, the church I pastor got way too much drama in it. I'm a trying to kill drama tonight. Don't get out of sorts with me. He done said something I'm going to stand on. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. He didn't say nothing about foolish preaching, but he did say the foolishness of preaching. What a joy to be under the tabernacle tonight. Boy, it's just something when you go to making much of him, how he proves himself to us. Boy, I wish we had a president go to making a lot of him tonight. May rearrange our country. I've not come here to throw no rocks. I've come to be a blessing. If you're hunting for a mean preacher, you got the wrong one tonight. But I do got some guts. And I got some grit. And I got some gravel in my voice. And I sure am glad that the Lord loves sinners. If you got a Bible tonight, the book of Acts, chapter number 2. What a joy to be under the old tabernacle this evening. I appreciate y'all being here tonight. Boy, I've enjoyed the singing, and you. Now, if you'll help me preach a little bit, I'll be short tonight. If you don't, it's going to seem long to you. But I'd ask you to help me get in the meeting. And we ain't got nothing to prove. Some of you may be wondering for the first night, well, can he preach? No, I can't. But he can. And so it's two things going on. Y'all wondering, can I preach? And I'm wondering, can y'all handle preaching? So we'll see in a little bit, amen. But I appreciate the Lord. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. I appreciate Brother Jeff. I've known him, met Brother David. I appreciate that tonight. Now in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, one of the greatest chapters that kick-started the local church. Now I'm a local church man. Sound man, if you'd turn me up, I'll save my voice. I got to keep some in the bank. We're going through Friday night this week, I hear. And so don't want to lose it all tonight. So you give me a lot of volume. It's a big place. And I'm a little bitty feller. Amen. Now, the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the church got kick-started. There wasn't a whole lot going on until Acts 2 come on the scene. And so our Lord now, He done what He said He would do. He said that He would be taken away. We find in Acts 1:11 said they was gazing, looking around, and some angels come and told them, said, "I don't know why y'all looking up in there." Said, "You ought to get busy." Said, "He's doing what he said he'd do. He said he's going to leave, but he said he's going to come back in like manner." Amen. I'm glad Jesus is coming. And they go up into an upper room and they gather together. And I like chapter 1, verse 14. Them early apostles got together and they had some ladies of the church there with them. The Bible said one in Acts 1:14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now let's stop right there before I get to preaching. I want to say this. They prayed with Mary. They didn't pray to Mary. Somebody help me tonight. And so now here's Simon Peter. He's fixing to get up. And I know all about him. I live in his body. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes my mouth gets engaged before my brain does. Somebody say amen. I love Simon Peter. He toted a case pocket knife. He sure did. I'm glad if I was in that church, he'd be on my team. Amen. And I don't know what some of y'all going to do with this. He didn't talk Sunday school talk all the time. But the Lord sure did love him. And the Lord changed him. Now notice this now. The Lord to save you how he finds you. But he don't leave you how he found you. And so things is going to go to picking up now for Simon Peter. He's fixing to get touched. We got a lot of boys preaching tonight without a touch. We need some men back in our pulpits preaching with a touch. Now watch what happened. In Acts 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I like this word, if you write in your Bible, underline it there. And suddenly, that'll change your church program, friend. That'll scare the visitors. Sort of like this feller took a lap tonight. I like that kind of goings and on. Don't let that scare you. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. Hey, choir, when they go to shouting, just go to shouting with them for the glory of God. Lord, I'm glad he ain't tearing my nerves up tonight. And so suddenly, I like it when the Lord does something and we ain't expecting. Oh, that's what we need this week, for the Lord to do something that we all ain't been expecting. And let me tell you, he is a God that still acts suddenly. So the Bible said this, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Father, we love you tonight. I want to thank you for the Spirit of God. I want to thank you for the old story. God, I want to thank you for the songs of Zion that we've heard, and our heart is felt. Thank you, Lord, for the saints of God that you've blessed me so to cross my paths in this life. Lord, the greatest day of my life was the day, Lord, that you come to my house. Now I want to thank you for that tonight. Would you send the Holy Ghost? God, would he come to magnify your son tonight? Would you let preaching be easy? Thank you for these good people. Lord, as the brothers done prayed tonight and asked you, Lord, this is no place to grind axes, and this is no place to try to straighten anything or anybody out. Lord, would you just help us to uplift your son tonight? Thank you for these men of God that are sitting here and the people of God. Many have had hard days, Lord. Many have traveled long ways to get here. I asked you, Would you let me be a blessing to your people tonight? Oh, God, I'd ask you to preach through me. I'm a needy preacher, Lord. I can't preach without you, and I know that. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name and for Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested this evening in a text verse. It's found in verse number 2. Preaching sort of like flying an airplane. You just got to have a place to lift off at. You never know where you're going to land at. But I can tell you this, in verse number 2 is a pretty good text verse. It said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And I'd like to preach on this subject this evening on when the wind gets in it. When the wind gets in it. If there's ever been a time when our Baptist churches need the wind blowing, it is tonight. I'd like to say, first of all, before I get in the way of the outline, I'd like to say four things about this of the wind. First of all, you'll find out in reading your Bible that the wind, it's sovereign in its bestowal. I'm glad we've got a God that's a sitting on the throne, and He does that of which pleases Him. I'm glad that He can let the wind blow any time that He sees fit for it to blow. There's been a lot of men that's tried to come up with formula and methods and personalities in order to get the wind blow. But let me tell you, the wind is sovereign in its bestowal. We need a sovereign God. And by the way, He's still in charge, and ain't nobody took His throne from Him. No, I'm telling you, we need God. We need God to send the wind here this week. And I'm going to tell you, it's sovereign in its bestowal. And then secondly, it's sudden in its blowing. I sure am glad when they got together in the book of Acts and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I'm glad the Bible told us where it come from. Friend, it didn't come out of Nashville. It didn't come out of way of Charlotte. But it did come out of heaven. Oh, I love it when Jesus went to the Baptist preacher downtown and he got baptized. The Bible said when he came up that the Spirit of God came and lit on him. And God the Father spoke from heaven above, said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm glad heaven's still open tonight." You'll notice this, heaven never opened till His Son was manifested. Oh, I'm glad He is the key to heaven tonight. Boy, when the wind gets in it, it's sovereign in its bestowal. It's sudden in its blowing. But thirdly, I want to say it's surprising in its behavior. You ever notice when the wind starts blowing that it's so surprising? I've been sitting around sometimes and not even a little spark, and all of a sudden the wind would get up. Boy, I was in a meeting the other Sunday there at the church, and boy, it was dead. It was drier than cornbread, amen. By the way, let me say this before I leave and go back to Georgia Friday. Gas is way too high to be driving to a dead church. Somebody help me tonight. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God's done something great for us, and we ought to magnify Him, and boy, we ought to exalt Him and love on Him every chance that we get. My, it's sudden in its blowing and it's surprising in its behavior. But I want to say it's significant in its benefits. We've got to have Him. We live in a day where technology's never been like it's been. We have more study aids than any preacher has ever had. We have some of the greatest schools in America. We have some of the greatest churches with some of the most organized programs, some of the greatest facilities that's ever been known to man, but there's something missing. And that's the wind blowing. Oh, how we need the wind blowing tonight. Now, found in my Bible, in Mark chapter number 2, there's a parallel chapter that goes along with this wind a blowing. I'm glad I've got around some services where the wind is a blowing. Now I want to say, when you get in a place where the wind's blowing, you'll find out, first of all, the Savior gets big. Boy, we ought to be making much of our Savior. Matter of fact, we ought to quit magnifying our problems and go to magnifying our Savior. Hey, I know things are bad, and things maybe are worse than they've ever been, but the God that spoke it all into existence, He's still on His throne, and He makes no mistakes. And I come by to tell you tonight that He still loves His children. And I'm glad that He can bend His ear to the cry of His children. Boy, wouldn't it be so refreshing if our leadership would get up and go to crying to the God of heaven. And so, oh God, we've tried everything. And Lord, we're sorry that we've shook our fists in the face of You. God, we're sorry we've took Your prayer out of our schools. And God, we're sorry we've took Your book out of the schools. And God, we're in a mess and we want to proclaim a fast and pray. I still believe, honey, that prayer does change things. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I was in Kentucky a few years back. There's a preacher there named Brother Arnold. He was 95 years old. He'd been preaching 75 years, and Brother Jeff, the moderator, called on him to come and preach. And I seen when the elder man of God got on the pulpit, and he grabbed one hand there and one hand there, and he said, "This morning, I feel that the Lord has had me to speak on the topic of prayer." Boy, I stood to my attention. Somebody that's been preaching 75 years walking with God, I want to hear what they got to say about the topic of prayer. And he grabbed a hold and he leaned forward at 95. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "It's not how long you pray. Just don't go long without praying." Oh God, would you help our country? Oh God, would you help our churches? Would you help our lives by the good grace of God tonight? Oh, when the wind gets in it, the Savior gets big. Mark chapter number 2, they having a home service. So the Lord comes down there, that house, and the Bible says it was noised abroad that He was in the house. It don't matter whether me and you here tonight, don't matter whether we hear or not. May I tell you, God's not hunting celebrities. God's not looking for entertainers. God's looking for somebody that'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for somebody that needs something from His world. And it don't take you long to realize we need a touch from heaven, and we need to make big out of our Savior tonight. Boy, we've got a good God. This prison preacher come up tonight. I've been preaching with some of them men occasionally. There's a lady down there on the Alabama line. She found out I was going to prison preaching. She was sort of one of them folks that thought she was up there on that upper limb. I don't like being around them kind of people, amen. I've never enjoyed being around nobody that thought they was a little better than me. She said, "I can't believe that you going down there preaching to them prisoners." I said, "Ma'am, let me tell you something. The only reason I ain't there because I didn't get caught doing what I was doing." Amen. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves us and come to where we was and found us and set us on a straight and narrow path. And honey, let me tell you something. You say, well, I don't shout. Yeah, but you'll go to the ball game and raise your voice. And honey, let me tell you, if God has saved you, you ought to magnify the Lamb of Glory tonight. Hey, hey, you ought to be glad that the God of glory come by your house and saved you, put the seal of approval on you, and sending you yonder to glory world. Honey, let me tell you, since I've been saved, I ain't always done what I ought to do, but I've always wanted to do right since He saved me. Thank God we ought to make big of the Savior tonight. Now, when the wind gets in it, the Savior get big. You know why our churches are dying? Ain't no wind in them. We've killed it with formality. We've killed it with programs, and we've killed it with tradition. And we think just because we've got educated that God don't know nothing. I like what Brother Hanley Milby told me when I was a young preacher. He said, boy, get you a Bible. Get you a dictionary. Get you a glass of milk. Go out yonder and wait out with God somewhere. Learn something down on your knees about the Holy Ghost. And I ain't against schooling tonight. I've been to school. And I've tried to educate myself. But honey, let me tell you, I'll never forget the day that the God of glory come to my house and saved me by His amazing grace. Hallelujah. Boy, I love it when the wind gets in it. You see, when the wind gets in it, the Savior gets big. Now you'll see that verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Don't let a little noise tear your nerves up tonight. Some of y'all think you're going to heaven with a quiet side and a loud side. It ain't going to be no quiet side and loud side. Honey, let me tell you, there's loud voices going on yonder in glory land tonight. You say, preacher, what are they doing? I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but I can tell you what they ain't doing. They ain't got the mully grubs. They shouting, and hey, hey, young'uns, heaven will get real to you the older you get. No more heartaches. Brother Jeff, no more funeral homes. No more folks calling us in the midnight hour saying, preacher, why? Preacher, why? Yeah. Hey, hey, hold on, young'uns. Yeah. The older you get, heaven's going to get sweet to you. No more heartaches. No more pains. Boy, ain't it something. The older you get, you wake up and your shadows are hurt. That's about where I am in life tonight. Boy, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves us so. No, the Bible said it was noise that He was in the house. And I love what He done. He preached the Word unto them. Can I help you right there a minute? I wonder if the Lord had come to your house and have meetings. Now that was somebody's house. It's easier to be a Christian in the sanctuary than it is by the sink. Anybody sang, oh, how I love Jesus on a Monday night in the choir. But it ain't what we're singing in church, it's what we're singing at home. Because you listen to me tonight, folks. Our church ain't going to be one bit stronger than what our homes are. Boy, I can just imagine Jesus come. He couldn't come to some of y'all's houses because you'd have to clean the refrigerator out first. Some of y'all would have to sweep a cover up off the bed and hide some stuff on the bed so Jesus wouldn't see. But I come to tell y'all tonight, honey, the door ain't keeping it closed from Jesus. He sees what's in there and under there. Somebody help me tonight. Boy, I sure am glad Jesus has come to my house and set up camp meeting down there where I live. Boy, I bless him and praise him. It was noise that he was in the house. And I want you to notice what Jesus done. You'll notice this, that he preached the word unto them. Now, I want to help you with something right here. Verse number 2, he said, now, straightway many was gathered together, insomuch there's no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Now, don't turn me off, but they wasn't having a drama team. Jesus preached the word. You know the difference in preaching and teaching? Teaching is telling. Preaching is yelling. A loud preacher tears some y'all's nerves up, don't it? Hey, you look up that word in the Greek. Now, I told you I'd been to school. Don't let this country talk fool you. This ain't my first rodeo tonight. But I can tell you one thing. The word preach means to hearken aloud. I don't know where anybody got the thought that Jesus didn't have grit about him. He walked through the temple and he turned a few tables upside down. And he said, hey, you boys done turned the Father's house from the house of prayer to a den of thieves, and I don't like it. That's sort of like all these liberal boys. When the balance preacher said, the reason them planes flew in our towers in September, said, is the wrath of God on our nation. And them liberal boys said, no, now God's not a God of wrath. Well, they ain't read my Bible. Boy, ain't it funny, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, none of that happened to our country. Isn't that amazing, young people? In the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they wasn't no killing and chaos in our schools. What happened? I tell you, God had His hand on our nation because God was honored and God was respected in ways that He's not respected and honored. Now, let me tell you something. We've grieved God as a nation. But hey, y'all, I'm closing in a minute. My minute's just longer than some of y'all's. Ain't you glad God's still doing something in a few pockets around our country? There's probably some of the best people under this tabernacle tonight this community's got. And I praise God for it. Boy, this lady and man singing on that piano, I got to thinking a while ago. Boy, I'd love to have them in a suitcase, just open them up in some places I go preach. What they're doing tonight was common in the 50s and 60s in our country. You ever thought about this? Some of you won't like Billy Graham, I know, because some of you wouldn't like nothing. You're Baptists.
Go ahead right there for a while.
But if you notice this, now watch this, and I'll move on to the next point. And you older folks is going to agree with this preacher now what I'm fixing to say. God had a mouthpiece to America in days gone by. God had a man that'd stand up and proclaim His word and got people's attention. Where's He tonight? Did you know all through this Bible in the Old Testament, when God brought judgment on a people or a nation, He removed His word. We wonder what's wrong. We say, well, let's just ban all the guns because they kill people. No, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Our crazy leadership say, well, let's get rid of the guns. Well, won't they get rid of the pencils? They misspell words. What about them cars out yonder? Them, I guess the outlaw car. Them cars ain't killing nobody. It's crazy people getting there drunk driving kills people. I wish my grandpa, Brother Jeff, could come back with his old Tennessee hickory walking stick. He is about this tall, but you listen, neighbor, he was impactful. And to think that they're passing laws in our land for men to marry men and women to be married, that's a blasphemy in the eyes of our God. I've not come here to upset you. I've not come here to tear this thing. I've come here to tell you what Jesus said in that book. Homosexuality is still an abomination in the eyes of God. And you listen to me tonight. Listen to me. Some of the greatest families I've ever pastored under God's heaven has children that's caught up in that lifestyle. We don't hate their children. You listen to me. We don't hate them. We preach against their sin. The sin of drunkenness, adultery, and fornication. We're not in a mess tonight because of hard preaching. Our country's in a mess because a lot of liberal, limp-wristed men have sold out to a board or a group. Quit trusting. Quit trusting the God of heaven. Send a little widow woman with a barrel and a stick and a cruise of oil to take care of all of his needs according to his riches and glory. You listen to me. I pastor one of the finest churches, one of the greatest ministries in the country. But we've not got it by entertainment. There's three things that's killing our churches as Baptist people. Number one is excuses. It'd be so refreshing if my people say, I just was sorry and I laid out Sunday. Y'all need like you need some preaching back up in here tonight. That'd be so refreshing to a preacher. Just somebody be honest, I just got sorry on you Sunday. Excuses. And then entertainment. The college ball. They drew the largest crowd that's ever been get more than any NFL game Saturday. Sound like the Roman Empire. Ball game crazy. Everybody loves therapy. I love to deer hunt, fish, play golf, and preach. And they ain't in that order. But let me tell you something tonight. Our country's went ball game crazy. They'll fuss with your preacher if he goes past 12. But the ball game's in the fourth inning, they knock the door down and say, man, it went in overtime. Y'all ought to be there with it. Wouldn't it be so refreshing if you went in your church Sunday morning and it went over in the fifth inning and you went back, got excited about what the Lord Jesus was doing in your church for the glory of God. Brother Jeff, I remember as a young preacher, I was meaner than a junkyard dog. I was a preaching somewhere. I ain't never got asked back, but I did go there one time. There's a feller at 12 o'clock. He kept doing this and doing this with his watch. And, you know, I was about 25, knowed everything. And I jumped up on the pew by him. I said, I can tell time. Now, I didn't preach their homecoming the next year, but I told him that Sunday. When the wind gets in it, the Savior gets big. It, watch this, it was noised. He was in the house. Nobody else knowed if anybody was there. But it was noised. He was in the house. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And we'd go back and say, man, who preached there this week? I don't know who he was. All I remember is he talked country and he sweated a lot, but Jesus was there every night.
Amen.
I've got three grand young'uns. Ain't got any grandparents here tonight. Christmas morning, I start 20 years where I've been pastoring. Started preaching on a high chair in my house. Had five families. And them little old young'uns that was sitting on the floor, Brother Jeff, Brother David, now they're married and got grand young'uns. I'm preaching to them tonight. But I said all that to say this. My little old grand young'uns got a 5-year-old grand girl, 3-year-old grand boy, and a 2-year-old grandbaby. And that word pop just does something to my heart. I'll get out and I'll call and she'll say, Pop, I played for you tonight. The little 3-year-old boy, I'll call him. I say, hey, Parker Jane. He say, Pop, you preach good tonight. I said, some thought I did, some thought I didn't. Wouldn't that have been a blessing if we could have raised them grandbabies before our babies? But let me ask y'all something. If the wind don't get back in what we're doing, what they going to have? Our adult Sunday school teacher got up Sunday. He is at a ball game Saturday. He said they played the national anthem, and he noticed all the older folks was doing this, and all the younger crowd was doing this. And I had this thought. I said, you know why the younger crowds are doing this? Because they ain't been showed nothing. It ain't their fault. Same principle. I could ask these young ladies here tonight. I doubt if there's 10 in the building can make an old-timey quilt. I doubt if every one of them know how to churn butter. You know why? It ain't their fault. They ain't been taught. I said all that to say that I'm trying to get that other point. What's this generation going to do if the wind ain't blowing? Brother Jeff, I flew to the Philippines, did a meeting. It amazed me what they did. This will amaze y'all what happened. I've got a lot of stories, but we ain't got that much time, and I'm trying to consider that. We preached in a meeting, went upstairs to the pastor's house, and they fed us. And I come back down the stairs, and I seen these people bedding down and laying down on the pews. And I said, sir, what you people doing? He said, oh, pastor, they bed down here to hear y'all preach tomorrow. If there's ever been a time that we need the wind in it, boy, it's tonight. Number two, not only does the Savior get big, but the saints get blessed. I love going to church where God's moving. I love to be in camp meeting atmosphere. I love going to church with God's people. And it ain't nothing that I've ever been to as bad in my life as to go to church and God ain't there. The saints get blessed. You know what I noticed coming up the road today about this text? You know, we all know the story. It was four of them got on each corner of the pallet. And they brought him to Jesus. It wasn't their four no more. They had a burden for somebody. And boy, if the wind would get in it, I just believe that the saints would get blessed. And how we need a burden. These preachers said tonight, we're going to do a revival tomorrow. That really don't burden us a lot. Jailhouse preachers a lot come on with me when I made a visit with you. And a little boy below our church, I met him for the first time. That's somebody's young'uns in there tonight. Could be your young'uns. Could be your grand-young'uns. But the saints get blessed. They was just tired of routine. I like what they done. They couldn't get in by the crowd, so they decided to do it another way. I love them kind of folks that they won't let the crowd outdo them. Quit waiting on the crowd to do something. Because they ain't going to do it. If you men are waiting to get a crowd together to do something for God, you ain't going to do nothing. Because I found out most crowds just hold you back. They said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our burdens up. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we could take our burdens up tonight? They went up with their burden and they tore the roof off. I love going to church with them boys. They'd make a lot of Baptists mad. First church I pastored, I was doing pretty good. Folks getting saved, and I thought I'd move the piano, Brother Jeff. You'd thought I shot the governor. Boy, the wind gets in it. Savior gets big, saints get blessed. And you know something? We love getting blessed. I love good bless, old-timey blessing. I love getting blessed. And I want to say thirdly, when the wind gets in it, not only does the Savior get big and the saints get blessed, but the sights get bizarre. Sights get bizarre. I was preaching out Louisiana back in April. I looked back there and there was a woman that was just a boo-hooing. But it wasn't a woman. It was a man dressed like a woman. Guess what happened? I got pictures. I wish we had a big screen. I showed it where I pastored. Give some of our folks hope. You know how big our God is? We ain't found it out yet. I've heard a lot of preachers say a homosexual can't get saved. I need to give you this man's cell phone. Because he got saved. He got saved on Wednesday. Had a yard sale Thursday, Friday. It's on my smartphone. Had size 12 high heels at the yard sale. Selling his girl clothes. How come, preacher? Because he's going hunting some man clothes on Saturday to go to church on Sunday. Glory to God. They sent me a video. I like to run slam out of the back door of my church the other Sunday. He was up singing. Got him on video singing. Where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, I will follow. Sights get bizarre. There's this lady coming to our church. She's about 6'2". Big blonde-headed girl. Some of y'all wouldn't let her in your church because you own your church. But right here on her calf, she had a tattoo of a bull blowing fire out of his nose. Said, praise God, she gets saved. She'll get somebody's parking spot around here. And I love what she done. She got saved on that Sunday. The next Sunday she come in, and where our Baptist folks been sitting, she sat right down, right in somebody's little nest. I love them folks get saved that don't know that it's a sign seating in the church house. She didn't know she had somebody's seat. Meeting broke out. Wished I had it on video. She stood up, she said, and it scared me to death. You know, you never know what a new convert going to say, but you really don't know what old convert's going to say. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. Amen. Special on voting night. Somebody say amen right there. She stood up, said, hey, that's my preacher. I'm going to stand with it. So y'all leave my preacher alone if you're bothering him. I say, ain't nobody bothering me, hon. Sit down. Ain't nobody. She said, I just want y'all to know what side I'm on. Sights get bizarre. We forgot about what God could do. We've been through the formalities so long, we've done forgot about our God. They said, I'm the Lord and I'll change not. We forgot about Him. He said, my ways are past finding out. The Savior gets big. The saints get blessed. Sights get bizarre. Service gets brief. I love church when you say, he preached an hour? It's a lot better than saying, will he ever close?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yep. Amen, brother.
And lastly, I know some of y'all glad it's the lasting. When the wind gets in it, not only does the Savior get big, not only does the saints get blessed and sights get bizarre, service gets brief, but you'll notice sinners get born. You know what Jesus said? I wish Benny Hinn had found it out. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. He ain't told him rise and walk yet. See, hold on just a sec. He's more interested in holiness than health.
Right, yeah.
I'm having a surgery next Wednesday. I don't want to go. I beg God. I don't know what these boys on TV is going to do with this. If you pay your tithes and send to their minister, they promise you health and wealth. They must not read Job. But I got a verse. For we know that all things work together. Come pin of that. It's okay, Pastor, if I give an invitation. Look what he done. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there's a crowd there didn't like what Jesus done. Let me help you preachers just a minute. If you think you're ever going to do anything in the name of Christ without somebody going against what you're doing, then you ain't going to do nothing for Jesus. Because there's going to be somebody not going to like what you're doing. Especially when the wind gets in it. This is what it said. Rise and walk. Go to your house. He said you'll be more impactful down there where they know you. He said go back down there where you live. And show them what I've done. Can you imagine this? I don't know if his mom and daddy's living, but I assume somebody was there, watched him leave, and he left out with his back on the bed. Out the door he went. But he come back home. With his bed on his back. And he walked in, he said, now I can't really explain everything I know about it. But all I know is them four boys come got me. Said we couldn't even get in the door down there, but they wouldn't take no for an answer. They took me up and they let me down. They let me down in front of somebody they'd made a lot of. His name is Jesus. And he looked at them boys and said, now things is fixing to go to picking up. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. And somebody went to laughing at him. He said, okay, is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? And he said, so y'all might know who's doing this. Get up. And he said, I come back in to tell y'all this tonight. Nobody's never loved me like Jesus. My brother's going to play tonight. Wish he'd just play something salty. I'd love to open these altars, and I'd like to ask y'all something. Do you need a touch tonight? Boy, I do. Do your churches need a touch? Do you need something for your life? Mom and daddies, don't forget about God. See, He can do anything. Young people, don't forget about God. There's nothing too hard for Him. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the wind would get in this week and blow like it's never blown in years? There's needs across the house. There's needs across this land. And there's a God in heaven that can see about all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Father, we love You tonight. I've come here to mind You. I want to pray for these good people tonight. Lord, their hearts and their homes, their churches. Oh, help them. Help. Lord, help me. Help our church. Help this group of people this week through Thy Word. I ask You just use me to be a vessel and a help. Thank You for these men of God tonight. Thank You for the people of God. The Spirit of God. Thank You for their kindness. Help us, I pray, tonight.